Hello and welcome to episode 71 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is December 25th, 2017. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones 2 and we are both at McFlugel.com. So Merry Christmas. We are actually doing this one, on the evening of Christmas. So we're doing it every week for you. Even the big holidays won't stop us. So the show notes page for this is McFlugel.com/71, where you'll find links to things we talk about in the episode, as well as ways to subscribe to the various platforms that we are on for social media. I know we made a comment last week about having a really special episode.
Here it is.
This week. Yeah, here it is. Actually, I didn't realize you were talking about fruitcake.
Yeah. Thanks, Rollo. Thanks, everyone, for listening in tonight or today. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Here we are today with your special Christmas episode. Anyone who follows us on Twitter, more specifically follows Rollo on Twitter, knows he likes to talk about fruitcake. Honestly, I've never even had one. I did get one. One of our clients sent a...
Since you're not going to be of any use.
Yeah, I'm just going to turn off and zone out this episode. But I never had one. I don't know even really what they are, other than that just last week, one of my clients at work sent a fruitcake, which I left at work. But it was very heavy and thick. And to be honest with you, it looked disgusting. So we're going to talk about why fruitcake is disgusting. And there's like a person or two in the world that really likes fruitcake. And that person is able to get fruitcake, which is pretty incredible. So sounds like nothing much on the surface. But Rollo,
First of all, I want to say if you keep bad-mouthing fruitcake, I can mute you. And I don't think you have the power to mute me.
No, I don't. You took the controls.
Yes. I'm the central planner of this call.
That's right. So anyway, what about fruitcake is so amazing, impressive, the fact that you can get fruitcake even though nobody likes it?
I know. That's pretty great, isn't it? Because who in under a centrally planned system would ever decide that they would never do it? Because people would say, oh, that's completely inefficient.
It's inefficient. Nobody want, like, not, you know, there's only a couple people who want it. Like, why would we create this stuff?
The only way it would get produced is if someone who liked it happened to be in charge. So, you know, if I were the king of the world and the economy, I would have, you know, a whole lot of
mandatory fruitcake.
Yes, and it would be transported by tractor.
Yeah, there you go. So, you got it in early.
I did. So it's the state always overproduces or underproduces because it doesn't understand the prices, because there are true prices don't exist because you're not letting the market people in the market make decisions on how to allocate scarce resources. So there's no way. I mean, it just wouldn't work. It's the same. You look at any other industry, healthcare, education, especially any industry that has the state, state's dirty hands all over it. It's always, they do a terrible job of it. You go ahead. You sound like you're going to say something.
I was just a note on prices, since cryptocurrencies are so popular now, more and more people are getting involved. How do you know the price of Bitcoin is what it is? Because someone is willing to pay that for it.
Right.
I mean, that's what the orders on the exchanges are, and that's what the price is, because someone's willing to pay for it. Without having that free exchange, you have no idea what it's worth. It's what someone decides it's worth.
Exactly. And it's the same thing with anything else.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same thing with every industry. It's just, you know, I bring that point up because more people are looking at them, and you can go on and see. I mean, it's the same as the stock market. It's how that works. And really any price, that's how it works. If someone is willing to pay that price for it, and that's why it's there. But you can actually see it on these exchanges. There's all the orders there. And that's how you know what the price is.
Right. And so a great example to explain this further is Leonard Reed's essay, iPencil, which is a little bit different, but, you know, close enough for what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's more the miracle of the market and how no single person on the planet could make a pencil. It's just not possible from start to finish.
Right. And it also gives me the opportunity to make a really snazzy podcast episode title.
Right. You know, call it Rollo Fruitcake.
Basically, oh, I get it now. Thanks. But sure. But no, it's the same thing. If you're not familiar with iPencil, it's a short essay, and there's, you know, also, I think there's some YouTube videos
and worth reading.
Yes. So what it is that, you know, Reed starts the essay saying that there's pencil something really simple and obvious and
costs a nickel,
right? If that, and everyone knows how to basically knows what they're made of and how to use them, but no single person could ever make it. You think it's a pencil. It's really simple. How could that be? But he breaks it down to, because we just take it for granted that we go to the store and there's a pencil there. Some company produces the pencils, but they don't understand all of the layers of production that go into that. So you go to the store and you buy your pencil, but who knows if the store is actually the manufacturer. It's probably just a distributor for or just the storefront for just or they buy from a distributor the pencils because they want to sell pencils. That's where their market is, and so that distributor has to buy from a factory, a manufacturer. So the manufacturer is making the pencils. So right there, we're already two layers back
on right. the storefront. And let's just go back through even more, you know, levels of production.
Yeah, so let's not retell, because the point is, the name of the thing is iFruitcake.
Right. Person mining the graphite doesn't know it's going into a pencil. They're just mining graphite and selling it, and it ends up there.
So we go to the store, we go to the supermarket, and we'll use Claxton Fruitcake, because that is kind of the gold standard for fruitcake, in my opinion. You go to the store, and unless you're at the Claxton factory in their Claxton store, you're not buying direct from the manufacturer. So let's say near me, I go to the Acme nearby. There's a Claxton fruitcake there. So they're not buying directly from Claxton. They have distributors that do all that stuff for them. But the distributor presumably buys from Claxton. And then Claxton has, you know, there's a lot of ingredients that go in the fruitcake. They got to get flour, sugar, egg, cinnamon, nutmeg.
Presumably fruit.
Yeah, candied fruit. I assume that they don't candy their own fruit. There's almonds. There's pecans. I don't know if Claxton has walnuts in it or not. But yeah, there's the fruits. There's cherries. Candied cherries, candied pineapple, candied orange, peel, lemon peel, raisins. I don't know if there's any other what other fruits there are in there. There might be dates in it. I don't know. I know all these ingredients. I'm just rattling off the ingredients I put in the fruitcake I just made. And the picture for the article is one of the fruitcakes I made. So, let's see.
Sure, it looks delicious.
Oh, it is. And it is delicious. So each of those raw ingredients, we're saying for the purposes of making the fruitcakes, has all sorts of other layers of selling. Maybe not if they're probably buying in bulk, so they're probably buying directly from a distributor. But like candied fruit, that's got to go through all sorts of processing, because you need to do the candying process, all the packaging that's involved there. So there's, you know, they're buying sugar from somewhere, they're getting water from somewhere, whatever other ingredients they use to candy, plus they're getting the fruit, which if they're using pineapple doesn't grow around, you know, well, Claxton's in Georgia, but they don't have pineapple down there. It's an imported fruit, typically. So they've got to, or just oranges. Let's say they're getting them from Florida. They got to make that transportation happen back and forth. And plus, on the farm, they got to do, or not even at the farm. I'm jumping around so much because it's so complicated.
Well, there's so many levels. No, how? Yeah, exactly.
So if you made a tree of all all of the layers of production that have to happen, it would be insane. It would be so massive. So if you go back and then start from the beginning, from the guy on a sugar farm somewhere in the Caribbean or something, he has no idea that he's making sugar, or his sugar crop is for fruitcake in Claxton, Georgia. And then you can even take it, step it back from the farm too, because he needs materials and support for his production. So it just keeps going and going and going and going. And it just reaches the point of ridiculousness to be like, predict that this droplet of water is going to be of use for fruitcake production.
Right, you can't. But, so what do prices have to do with it? So, yeah, go ahead if you have a thought.
Well, it helps. It directs where the resources go to.
Right. And so you're saying, as you'll freely admit, there's not seemingly huge demand for fruitcake out there.
Right. Just like there's not.
There's some.
Yeah. Just like there's not that many libertarians out there. But the minority in libertarianism is the correct people. So therefore, the minority of the fruitcake world is the correct people too.
I'll remember that logic for the future. No, but like say, so let's, you know, make up the numbers. Claxton sells, how many fruitcakes do you buy a year?
Like 1,500.
Okay, so Claxton sells 1,500 fruitcakes a year. They have to do their calculation and figure, if I can sell it for this price, I'll make X money, and this is how much our raw goods. So say the price of oranges or candied fruit goes through the roof for whatever reason. They may realize, well, we can't sell it for – we can't sell enough at the price we'd have to for to turn a profit, so we're going to stop selling it. And then those products, those raw goods that were bidded up in the market because whether there was a shortage or whatever the case was, maybe there was just this increased demand in other areas or a new product came out, it may not be worth them making fruitcake anymore. It wouldn't make sense to do it, so we would allocate those resources to where they would be more useful, where people want them to go. And you can only do that with price signals. There could be no central planner who decides on a whim, well, maybe we just don't need fruitcake anymore.
Right. And there's, you know, a lot of decision making if the price goes up on oranges, and it makes it prohibitive for Claxton to continue to hold the price point that they want. They have the decision of just,
do we use a substitute good? Do we change our price? Do we,
right. Or eliminate the ingredient. But so, you know, it sounds simple enough to be like, oh, well, if oranges are through the roof, just take them out. But I mean, they have, you know, they have like
a brand, they have a line. And,
right. You have the expectation that it's going to be, you know, the same way it has been for all those years. It's, you know, the old fashioned traditional fruitcake. That's what they have plastered all over their packaging. It's one of their selling points and everything. So it's not, it seems simple, and it kind of, it, like the options.
The idea is simple, but it's, yeah. And you don't see it, because there's not a central planner making these decisions, it just kind of happens. And you'll see it all the time with things in the story. You know, this Snickers bar used to be bigger or whatever. Right. Those are decisions being made voluntarily to do certain things.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, there's other fruitcake companies out there. There's a few. So let's say that the Claxton decides to keep the oranges in and just raise the price. And the other fruitcake company says, no, we're going to cut the oranges out. You know, there's going to be, maybe both lose. Maybe just the market just says, no, I need fruitcake exactly the way it is. Or, but let's say that people decide that, you know what, I really like the oranges in there. I like that kind of classic taste. I'm willing to pay a little bit more for it now. That could really hurt the other company's business.
Right.
Or it could happen vice versa. People could say, I care, I want to pay the same price. I don't want to pay more. The oranges don't really make or break it for me.
Right. Or it could be that company that decides to take the oranges out. They make a business decision. We're going to sell our fruitcake without oranges. And it turns out the market wasn't that big to begin with. And the one guy in the market who buys the fruitcakes likes having the oranges in there. So that other company would then go out of business because the market can't handle people making fruitcakes without oranges in it.
Yeah. Life is good as a monopsony. Come on, give me. You're not going to be like, for people who don't know what an monopsony is.
No.
Okay. For people who don't know what a monopsony is, I didn't say monopoly. Monopsony, monopsony, is when.
We can spell here too.
I know. There is one consumer in the market as opposed to a monopoly where there's one producer. So. It makes it a little bit interesting how the interactions between producer and consumer go. So
there you go.
Yeah. You might have learned something today, or you didn't.
No, but that's how the market works and how we figure out where to allocate the resources that are scarce and to their best uses. So if people are willing to pay more, so that, like we said, the price of oranges went up, that's because people are in other industries or other products are really want those oranges, so they're willing to pay more for them. That shows that is where they should be used.
Absolutely. Trying to think if there's much else. Yeah, I mean, I think we covered a lot. I think the iPencil thing is the really convenient and perfect foil for.
Yeah, if you haven't read that, go check it out. It's pretty simple and pretty good.
Yeah, we'll have it linked on the show notes page, right above the an Amazon link to buy Klaxon fruitcake.
There you go.
I suggest everyone does.
Probably on sale now that Christmas is today.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna stock up.
Yeah.
I'm going to head to the local grocer and see if they have any at a reduced price. Although I think the massive fruitcake I made is going to last a while. But either way, I mean, I don't know. Do you have anything else you wanted to say?
Is it going to last a while because no one will eat it?
No, just to try to be healthy.
Try to conserve. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Good. Well, no, I have nothing more to add on this to you.
I do not. Do you have a free market success story? Well,
we didn't discuss this pre-episode.
I
know,
but I actually have a few.
That was okay.
And the all one, right. Kind of an interesting thing. I don't know if this has been around forever, but I just noticed it today because that's when I decided to wrap presents was this morning. Because I don't have any kids that are running down the steps to get to the Christmas tree in the morning. So I could delay that wrapping the gifts. So I opened up the wrapping paper I just bought, and I noticed on the backside of it, there was a grid.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the coolest thing, because how many times when you're wrapping paper, it's kind of like,
you don't have a straight line. You don't know how far to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the straight line's a huge one because you fold over after you make a cut. It's all messed up. And then you can see how much, you can make. You can cut on the other side so you know they're even.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that they didn't start adding another 5 cents on the wrapping paper to add the grid. They could have. I have no idea. I'm not too familiar with the typical wrapping paper prices, but just like a little neat innovation in the market that just makes it so much better. I'm sure that has something to do with it becoming cheaper and easier to print on both sides of stuff.
Probably.
Because you could imagine,
running it through twice or whatever you would have to do before you could do that.
Probably at a big cost.
Yeah.
So just a little stupid thing that's nice little it helps you out. And it wasn't something, because again, if you had central planners out there, who would say that, what we need is to put a grid on the other side of the wrapping paper to help people cut it. No one was. I never it was just an inconvenience. Wrapping presents before was just an inconvenience with wrapping presents. Was that don't always have a straight line, or maybe not have enough paper. I never even thought that grid would be great. So it's let those ideas bounce around and let the winner go to the top. So
a little innovation that makes wrapping things easier.
Yeah, just one of those little things that you wouldn't don't always notice.
It's funny you say that, because I particularly noticed it this year, because we had a couple rolls of wrapping paper and one of them didn't have the grid. Yeah. And I really saw how nice it was to have the grid.
Yeah. So with that, show notes page for this episode is mcfugle.com/71. You'll find links to subscribe to this podcast on both iTunes and Stitcher, as well as links to liking us on Facebook, following us on Twitter, and getting us on a couple other spots. And also, there should be a few links to subscribe to the email newsletter. So we'd love to have you on there to make sure you're up to speed on everything that we're doing.
So, yes.
With that, have a Merry Christmas, or Happy Hanukkah, or whatever holiday you celebrate. And we'll catch you next week for the new year. So,
yes, we will. Catch you next week.
Thanks again. Enjoy your Christmas.
Peace.